With SDPB Radio News, I'm Chris Loffrey. The State Department of Health reports 141 new cases of COVID-19 and one new death. The latest death was a man over 80 from Bonham County. The state's death toll is now 161 individuals. There are 11,276 total positive cases in South Dakota. Minnehaha County reports the highest number of newly identified cases with 21. Four counties follow with case numbers in the double digits. 24 additional counties report smaller increases. There are 1,551 active cases of COVID-19. Currently, 62 people are hospitalized and 85% of overall cases have recovered. The case against a Lakota organizer who was part of a July roadblock near Mount Rushmore is heading to trial. Nick Tilson, the founder of NDN Collective, faces three felony charges and four misdemeanors. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Nick Tilson says he will not consider a plea deal.
Oh no, we're going to trial. We're not taking no plea deals. These charges are all unfounded.
Tilson faces three felony charges. One alleges that he stole a shield from a National Guard soldier. Another charge claims that Guard member was afraid of, quote, bodily injury. The third felony charge is for allegedly directing a van towards a police officer. Protesters used three vans to block the highway leading up to Mount Rushmore before the fireworks show in July. The state says those individuals were outside a protest zone established in Keystone, east of the monument. Brendan Johnson is one attorney representing Tilson. He says they want a jury to see the entire picture.
And that is what we will be emphasizing, that there were a group of other protesters there that were behaving inappropriately, including behaving inappropriately to law enforcement. This was a situation that we don't believe needed to escalate in the manner in which it did.
Tilson's supporters have collected more than 14,500 signatures asking the Pennington County State's Attorney Mark Vargo to drop the charges. They handed over those documents after a preliminary hearing. Vargo says he doesn't comment on pending cases.
I'm at something of a disadvantage. I don't get to have a conversation with you about the whys and the wherefores, but I will certainly take this seriously and I will review both these petitions and other outreach that we've received.
Tilson faces up to 16 years and 30 days in jail. No other hearing or trial dates have been set. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
New numbers show South Dakota's unemployment rate fell to 6% in July. That's good and bad. It's good because the rate is down for a third straight month after spiking to 11% in April. That was South Dakota's highest rate since the government started reporting the data in 1976. But it's also bad because 6% is still higher than South Dakota's pre-pandemic record of 5%. That happened during the Great Recession in 2009. Nationally, South Dakota was one of 30 states with a falling unemployment rate in July. The state had the fifth lowest rate in the nation. Kentucky, Idaho, Nebraska, and Utah had lower rates. The nationwide unemployment rate in July was 10%. Access to one of South Dakota's most popular hiking destinations is limited for a while. The highest portion of Black Elk Peak Trail No. 9 is closing from Mondays to Thursdays through October 1st. The Forest Service says there is no access to the Black Elk Peak Summit or its fire lookout tower during those days. Crews will repair rock steps and other eroding trail features. They'll also install drainage structures. The trail is to be open Fridays through Sundays. A daily average of 500 people hike the trail during the summer. A Sioux Falls-based biopharmaceutical company is taking the next step in its trial of a COVID-19 treatment. SAB Biotherapeutics is partnering with Sanford Health to enroll patients with the virus. The trial is part of a federal push to develop COVID-19 treatments and vaccines. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
On Friday, SAB Biotherapeutics announced the first COVID-19 patient received a dose of the treatment. Until then, the therapeutic had only been tested on healthy volunteers. Eddie Sullivan is the president and CEO of the company. He says this treatment is unique from others in development.
Our approach really represents a human polyclonal antibody treatment. And polyclonal antibodies are really the natural way that our bodies fight disease. When we become sick, it's simply because our bodies become overwhelmed. Our immune system can't keep up.
Sullivan says this treatment, called SAB-185, represents more of the body's natural defense against the novel coronavirus. The human antibodies are produced by injecting a version of the virus into genetically modified cattle.
These animals are plasma donors three times a month. That's what their job is. And we purify the human antibodies from those animals, and that's what we use as the therapeutic.
The Federal Department of Defense and a Division of Health and Human Services are funding this project. Sullivan says it's part of a nationwide push for effective COVID-19 treatments.
There are nine therapeutics that this government organization is funding. And of the three new therapeutics directed towards COVID-19, SAB is the only new approach that's being deployed.
Sullivan expects results from the initial clinical trial by early October. From there, it could move to advanced clinical trials and licensure by early next year. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
State health officials report an employee at Asylum Tattoo Studios in Sturgis has tested positive for COVID-19. The person worked at the business between 10 a.m. and 2 a.m. from August 13th to the 18th. The health department says during that time, the individual was able to transmit the virus to others. Those who visited during those hours should monitor themselves for symptoms for 2 weeks from that date. Asylum Tattoo is a Florida-based business that operates in Sturgis during the motorcycle rally. The business sets up shop at One Eye Jack's Saloon. A saloon patron recently tested positive for COVID-19. Symptoms include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. People should call their healthcare provider if they develop these symptoms. There is no long-term mental health care for volunteer first responders in South Dakota. That's the message from testifiers speaking to a state legislative committee. They say firefighters, police officers, and EMTs suffer from PTSD. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Tammy Haug Davis is a therapist at Key Solutions in Sioux Falls. She says a lot of first responders in South Dakota respond to accidents where they know all of the victims.
Even if they choose to reach out to get some counseling, they know everyone in the community or they know the therapist and they're not ready to divulge or be vulnerable with people that they know. So we have to look at the next tier possibly of how can we create a system that gives them access to resources.
Haug Davis says while first responders in urban communities may have access to help, she says there's room for more. State Representative Ryan Schwach led the push for a summer study on PTSD in first responders. The Democrat from Yankton is co-chair of the committee. He says volunteer first responders aren't getting the help they need.
92% of all our first responders in the state of South Dakota, with the exception of police officers, are actually volunteers. And so we have these people who are, for no pay, going out, responding to fires, responding to accidents. And sometimes that produces post-traumatic stress type symptoms in them. We don't have the resources to help these volunteers out.
Schwach says the legislative committee is figuring out the scope of the issue and how it affects the public. He says the hope is to craft some legislation for next year's session. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
Fairs are a staple of South Dakota summers. However, this summer, a few fairgrounds across the state will remain empty, including the Brown County Fair in Aberdeen and the Turner County Fair in Parker, which bills itself as South Dakota's oldest county fair. On the flip side, the State Fair in Huron and the Central States Fair in Rapid City are opening soon. So how do organizers plan to keep fairgoers safe amid the COVID-19 pandemic? South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Tom Hansen finds out.
Ah, the smell of fair food, the sights and sounds of the carnival rides and the grandstand entertainment will go on this summer. The state's largest fairs are opening their gates for 2020. The Sioux Empire Fair, which opened July 31st in Sioux Falls, is already over. Organizers say attendance was down by one-third. However, they say they saw more people during off-peak hours. It appears some people prefer coming earlier to avoid the crowds. Fair President Scott Wick tells us the staff set up 48 hand-washing stations, but many fairgoers brought their own hand sanitizer. Overall, he's pleased with how people responded to the annual event. In Rapid City, the Central States Fair kicked off on August 21st. Manager Ron Jeffrey says things look and feel a little different.
We put certain safeguards in place to make it an enjoyable experience for people. And we really think that we've done a certain number of things to make it a fun and exciting event, despite some of the challenges we've had to face.
You just said you put safeguards in place. What kind of safeguards are we talking about, Ron?
It is very difficult to manage large groups of people. We are messaging that everybody should be conscious of their own personal spacing. We've limited number of tickets available for grandstand events, so there will be room for spacing. We encourage people to do anything that they feel personally necessary, just like you do when you go to the grocery store or the other types of businesses now. If you're comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. If you want to carry extra hand sanitizers or cleanse wipes, bring them. We will have additional cleaning crews in place to help clean certain parts of the fairgrounds, high-touch areas, but we really encourage personal responsibility.
Just about all the fairs have had to make adjustments when it comes to entertainment, and many top acts are canceling shows during the pandemic. In Huron, the South Dakota State Fair begins September 3rd and runs through the 7th. Organizers declined a request for an interview on preparations for the event, but they have posted a warning on the State Fair website, and it says, "Exposure to COVID-19 is an inherent risk in any public location where people are present. The South Dakota State Fair cannot guarantee you will not be exposed during your visit." It ends by saying, "By visiting the South Dakota State Fairgrounds, you voluntarily assume all risks related to exposure to COVID-19. Well, those risks were too high for the organizers of the Brown County Fair in Aberdeen. Fair manager Derek Reese says that many factors played into their decision to keep the gates closed in 2020, including the health and well-being of the volunteer staff, 70% of whom are in the older, higher-risk category. Fiscal responsibility also played a significant role for Brown County officials, with a projected loss in revenue of more than $200,000.
You have to understand that no matter what your decision is going to be, you're going to have a group in the population that is not necessarily happy about that decision. And this was no different. It seemed to be one of the more polarizing choices that that we've had to make in years past, for sure. But you have to go into it knowing that if you go into it with the best of intentions and looking at the data that you have at the time, no one really has a crystal ball, but you try to make as best of an educated decision as you can based on the information that presents itself.
Back in Rapid City, Jeffrey says the managers of the larger fairs in South Dakota have all been in touch to help each other decide what is best for their communities. He realizes attending a fair is not for everyone.
We know there are people who have health risks or in certain categories that are restricted or that perhaps are restricted by their jobs. We do hope that for those people that do feel like this is a safe place to come and enjoy and have a vacation at home, that they will take the time to come out and see everything that we have to offer.
So the bottom line for South Dakota fair season, those attending must assume there is a risk and make their own decision about visiting a fair while the pandemic is underway. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Tom Hansen in Sioux Falls.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Together we can make a more civically engaged South Dakota. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.